Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Can you think of a better place to be this morning besides heaven?
Better where I've been all week.
There you go, brother. There you go. I hope to stand before you this morning to bring you a message of hope, a message of encouragement, a message so we know. You know, I say this loosely a lot, but I'm saying it seriously this morning. There's better days a coming. There won't be a time when we got to struggle up them steps, Cindy, and whoever says, "Oh, I think they add a step every week." There won't be another cold morning like we've had this morning. For those who don't like it, some people like it cold like that, but most don't. But there's a day coming in the presence of God when we are spent our last day on this earth. When God has called us home as our loved ones before us that had a relationship with Jesus Christ, they will not experience a cold morning again, and neither will we when we have fulfilled our purpose on this earth, because we, each and every one of us, has a purpose on this earth. I don't care who you are, where you're at in your spiritual life, God created you with a purpose in His mind for you to do on this earth. When it is fulfilled, He'll take you home. Amen. Rick's was fulfilled, wasn't it, Miss Patty? We didn't want him to go. Our hearts broke when he went, but Rick's purpose was completed on this earth. And his purpose is still going on. Look, we're talking about Rick Koontz, that crazy guy who saws trees, falls on himself, cuts his fingers off, and all his stuff. But we're still talking about him because he fulfilled his purpose on this earth in more ways than we can imagine. And he has that same purpose for y'all. And I'm here to tell you, Rick is enjoying being in the presence of the Lord. No more pain, no more sorrow, tells us in Revelation chapter 21. Read that. Better days are ahead. There'll be no headaches in heaven. There'll be no heartaches in heaven. There'll be no feuds in heaven. So as I stand here before you, as we think about these worldly things that's going on out there, if you let it will depress you. It will discourage you. It will lead you to think things we shouldn't think. It'll get our human minds to go on where our human minds just lead us to nowhere. And I followed mine a long time, and it got me nowhere every time. Usually trouble resulted or doing something stupid. I called Jeff one day. My brother lives down the road. I said, "Hey, Jeff, you want to come up and watch me do something stupid?" A few minutes he did, and we ended up had three chainsaws stuck in this tree, and we stopped and had a prayer meeting. And that tree fell right exactly where it had to have fallen. It didn't hit my garage, and it didn't hit my boat. It fell right perfectly where it needed to go. That's just an example of God takes care of stupid people too. Right, Bob? I love you, Bob. Yeah. All right. Now, we're happy right now. We're smiling. We're in a good place. We know that God is the creator of all things. We know He loves each and every one of us beyond our comprehension. I hope you know that here this morning. Better days are ahead. He promises better days are coming. So we're going to talk a little bit about Noah. And you know, we've always heard the story, and I was thinking about that today. Or last night, actually, Noah's Ark. Who don't know anything about Noah's Ark? Don't hold your hand up. But we've heard that since we were kids. But I got to thinking, there's a lot in the world that has never heard of Noah's Ark. There is children that have grown up in homes that have never heard the story of Noah's Ark. Doesn't know nothing about it, know what it is at all. No recollection of it. And I think, Jamie, I'm guilty of assuming that people know the story of Noah's Ark. There might be somebody sitting here among us today that have heard of Noah's Ark, but don't know what it's about. We're going to talk a little bit about that today and the encouragement. It's going to be discouraging up to a point, but we're going to see God's promises to those in the story of Noah's Ark. Now and it's going to be pretty short because we could be here till Tuesday at 3 o'clock if we studied it all. But Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to start out by reading verses 8 through 13. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. And if you would, stand when you find your place in honor of God's word. Those who can, those who cannot, please remain seated. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 13 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Let us pray. Lord God, we just humbly again bow here before you on this beautiful morning you have given us. We cry out to you once more for forgiveness and guidance in our day. Be in the midst of this sermon here this morning. Move upon us. Let it bring glory and honor to you in every word. Stir our hearts as only you can. And I do again, Lord, ask for you to be with our pastor this morning, Lord. Just bless him, his family, and his ministry, Lord. Pray for those who couldn't be here. I ask for you to intervene in all the prayer requests this day. And I do again ask for you to forgive me in these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So as we read that, does that sound familiar in the way the world is today? The violence that's out there. It's uncontrolled violence right now. It's even there. Don't even try to hide it anymore. The lying, the cheating, the stealing, the killing, the hurting. Do you see that? Does that sound familiar to you all this morning? So I'm trying to lay out the scenario here, but what happened? What happened? What did God find in Noah? Grace in Noah. He found grace in Noah. Why? Because he was seeking God. Because he wanted to have a relationship with God. So you think it's many to a few? Now, I just seen a statistic for, I believe it's England, that this is the first time in history that it is below 50% Christian nation. I've seen that, I think this week, maybe last week. That's already occurred in the United States, okay? So we're seeing where it's growing large to a few. But where did Noah, what did God find in Noah? Grace. I'm speaking to the church right now. I'm a Christian, been a Christian, and I can still get so discouraged that I get depressed. And it's just because of this life. It's because of this body. It's because of this flesh. I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? You get tired of it. You get tired of hurting. You get tired of bad thoughts. That's Oaky right there talking, isn't it? You get tired of just a bad thought or all those things that's just so disturbing. You get tired of that. Better days are coming. There won't be none of that. So, that's the scenario. I'm going to read verses 13 to 16, and this is what Noah does. Verse 14 through 16. Yes. Make thee, now God's telling him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark in the shall be 3 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. God's being very specific in what he wants Noah to do, and what Noah has to do, what Noah must do. And a window thou shalt make to the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories thou shalt make it. God's found grace in Noah. So God is going to destroy the earth. He tells that he's going to destroy the inhabitants of the earth. And he tells Noah that. He tells him that. Why does he tell him that? Because he found grace in him. Because he has a relationship with him. So he says, Noah, you must do this to be saved. We heard that word before in the Christian church.
Amen.
Being saved. What's it mean to be saved? What's it mean to find grace in the eyes of God? Okay. Reading on. Present action. Verse 17 and 18 says, and behold, I, who is that talking? That's God. Even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall what? Die. Pretty clear. See, the kid's story, or the story that if anybody hears it out in the world about Noah's Ark, it's, oh, we got 2 animals coming in. It's so pretty, and it's so nice, and it's so good. Leave out the part of the earth inhabitants were killed. They died. Jamie, that's bad preaching. That's hateful. That's mean. No, that's truth, folks. That is the truth. And God, give them an option. He says, build that ark. No, build that ark so that you might be saved. 17 and 18, again, verse 18. And with thee I will establish my covenant. Man, who better to have a covenant with than the Creator of all things? Who better? None. There's none better. There's no other way. There was no other one. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring to the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. What is the purpose of the animals, the male and the female? He said it with purpose. Male and female. Did he not? Do we hear any arguments about male and female in today's world? Isn't it awful? It's awful. But God said male and female. What was the purpose of that? To replenish the earth. So God had a plan going forward after all on the earth had died. Agreed? I mean, obviously, Do you believe that? My point, one of my points is, this story is, do you believe it? Do you believe it fully and completely? Because it is in the Word of God. It is. So, what's encouraging about that? We'll get to that, folks. We'll get to that. Verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. Now, as we get later on, what does Jesus say for you to escape death, hell, and the grave? You must be born again. He didn't say, you might try to be born again. You must be born again. Pretty clear. You must be born again. So Noah, in response to all that God had told him, what's it say? Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Okay, you jump on up to verse 3. Of the fowls of the air, let's see, forgive me. The flood came in chapter 7. And I thought about the lost folks out there that ridiculed Moses, that made fun of Noah. And it did seem a bit ridiculous, wouldn't you say? It had never rained on the earth, for those who don't know the full story of Noah and the ark. It had never rained before, and God said he was going to bring a flood, and they were in the desert. People die of thirst in the desert because of no water. And Noah's building an ark that is huge. Go to Kentucky and see that if you get the opportunity. It is incredible. It'll really solidify the story of Noah and his ark.
And the awesomeness of God.
And the awesomeness of God that could have been done. That's like the awesomeness of not calling Elizabeth old, just saying she had high mileage, maybe. You know. Yeah. So anyways, when that water started coming, the people on the earth, because the door had been shut, okay? Remember that when you think of the happy-go-lucky Noah's Ark story. Remember, the door was shut, and that was the end of all hope for those outside the ark. Are you outside the ark? This is a scenario. When that door shut, the ark's gone. The ark floats away. And those people that probably came running, oh, we'll get on now. We'll get on now. Let us on. Throw us a life raft. Do you see anywhere where God told him to make life rafts? And was Noah able to open that door? Who shut that door? God shut that door. All hope floated away. The family was saved by the direction of God in their obedience to follow what God had told them to do. In chapter 8, verse 3, it talks about the water dropping. So what happens when the water's dropping? The ark comes down till it settles back on the earth. And in verse 20, one of the first things when the door was open that Noah did was build an altar. Build an altar. He knew in whom he trusted. He knew in whom made the way. He knew in whom was going to carry him forward. He knew that who was going to bring better days. Do we know that today? Do you know that today? He built an altar for what? For a ritual? No, to worship God. To worship the one that made the way. He built an altar. Altar. In chapter 9, verse 1, says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." So, in that scenario, better days was coming for who? For those who found grace in the eyes of God. So how do we do that? By having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Luke, I'm going to read Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 36. And listen closely as we start. Verse 26 takes us right back to the story of Noah. It says, 26 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." It's today, folks. It's today. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Sound familiar to what's going on in our world today? "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." Just another topic that occurred this week that the Senate voted to, I can't remember the exact word, but they codify same-sex marriage. Yeah. And some of our conservative people voted with that. That's where we're going. It's getting to be more versus less. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and what? Destroyed them all. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife? You know what happened to her? She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. They shall be taken, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left." That speaks volumes for itself. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It is. We got to take it at that. That one said, don't go off the roof to get your stuff. How caught up in stuff are we? We build bigger buildings. We have 10 buildings, don't we, Debbie? We build bigger buildings that have our stuff. Jamie just got a canopy for a boathouse. Our stuff. Don't get caught up in your stuff. The world is caught up in stuff. So as in the days of Noah, do we recognize the comparison where in the times we live right now compared directly to the days of Noah? I hope you all see that. And I hope you all agree with that. Now, here is the encouraging part. And there's nothing but encouragement in the Word of God. But I'm going to bring this all to you here today. If you're a Christian, speaking directly to you. If you're not a Christian yet, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to become one of His. It says in 2 Thessalonians 4, I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Just to clarify that is Christians that have passed away. Okay? That's Christians that passed away. There's not a soul sleep or whatever. That is just Christians that pass away. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," meaning they'll be called first and then us. Okay? "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." Jesus Himself. Do you realize, man, what hope is in that? Anything that Jesus is in and you're in is hope, is good. "Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What more comforting words can there be than to be in the presence of the Lord? What is there? It would be joy in the morning. Is she preaching now? What? It says, "Comfort one another." Listen to what it says in chapter 5, verses 9 through 15. Now I'm talking to you, Christian church, here this morning. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." His purpose is that all should come to repentance, that everybody should be saved. He don't want anybody to go to hell. And the world will say God will send them to hell. No. He made a way. You go on your own. Okay. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again this morning? He did. "Even so them which are asleep in Jesus will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain." I'm reading that same one again. Let's move over to chapter 5, verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us." Yeah, exactly. Him who died for us, "that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Is that your goal in life? Is to be in the presence of the Lord? When you're saved, you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit which indwells you. But we will be in contact. We will see the nail scars. We can touch His side as He told Thomas to do. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Now, as this world is going to hell in a handbag, folks, we need to encourage one another and comfort one another and know that there's better days coming. But listen also what it says. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their works, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren," listen, Listen to what he said. Now we exhort you, brethren, Christians, warn them that are unruly. Those out in the world that is in a bad state, maybe causing chaos, whatever. We are to show them the love of Jesus. We are to share the gospel of Jesus so they can have the same opportunity that we had. Because you know what? I was no better than any of those. I was no better than anybody out there. I was lost and undone, headed for a devil's hell. I was on my way, and he come down and interceded one day for me. He stirred in my heart. If he's stirring your heart here this morning, don't deny it. Don't ignore it, because it might be the last time. Jesus loves you so much. He went to that cross voluntarily. Accept him this morning. Accept what he's done in your life. Christian, don't be afraid to go out there and tell the cashier at Walmart that Jesus loves them. Don't be afraid to tell the person on the other side of the pump that Jesus loves them. Don't be afraid to tell anybody you come face with that Jesus loves them. They might accept it, they might reject it. But our commandment, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the hope in the ark that Noah had. I got hope in that ark. And to esteem them. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men, seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And just keep reading those. Rejoice evermore. Some days I get caught up in that, and I forget that I have the utmost hope in life to rejoice about. If you're born again, you have the most hope that is possible. Human mind cannot comprehend the joy, the hope that lies in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Belinda, you want to come and get a song? I hope that was encouraging to you this morning. I pray, and I do pray for each and every one of y'all. I appreciate y'all. I need y'all. If you have something on your heart this morning, if the Lord's dealing with you in a way, maybe unto salvation, whatever it might be. Because I can look around, I've seen people I've been in church with a long time, and I watched this one lady been in church 20-some years. And she got saved. She was active in the church. She done things in the church. Nobody knew her heart. And she ended up understanding faith and grace. And she got saved one day. And it was a surprise to many. But it was an encouragement that we need to encourage one another. We need to support one another. But we need to be encouraging one to another, whether it be right here. If you have a need, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't sit on it. Don't be afraid to come up here and accept Jesus or have prayer about anything that's going on in your life. Jesus knows everything that's going on. He asks you to come and pray.